The sermon today is about, Lord, or help us. And sometimes you and I may feel like we just can't go any further. And what we want to see from the scripture today is there's a world out there asking us, come and help us. Come and help us to know Christ as Savior and Lord. So let's just ask again very genuinely to the Lord. Lord, would you help us to understand your word today? So, Father, as we have worshiped you through song, we worship you now through hearing the scripture, having it explained to us, and we pray most of all, not that I would explain it, but that the one true teacher that is ours, the Holy Spirit of God, would explain to us the scripture so that we might hear and believe and that we might obey to the glory of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, John MacArthur in his commentary on this text calls it the way of evangelism. And it is the right way of evangelism. I've titled the message this morning, Please Help Us. Because we find a phrase in this text of scripture where you and I know it as the Macedonian call. It is when Paul has a vision from the Lord in a time in which he was seeking where God was going to direct him. He was certain that the Lord was leading him back into northern Asia. And there was a different assignment that God had for him, and it was that he be redirected and go into what we know as Europe today. And Paul was being very sensitive to the Lord. He had a burden to go back into northern Asia, in a place that he had never been, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the scripture tells us that, and it's a strange statement that's made in scripture, he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Bithynia. It wasn't that the Lord didn't want the gospel to go to Bithynia, because we know that it's his intention that the gospel go to the ends of the earth. But everyone has a different assignment in that carrying out of this mission that the Lord has through his church to the world. And it really is our part to be sensitive to the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit to know where we fit into that part. We as a church collectively fit in a more general way, but we are specific in the way we are assigned as a church body of believers to take the gospel to the nations. And yet as individual parts of that church, it will even be more varied among the individuals within that church. And so you and I, as those who stand before God, we will have to be very sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me to go? And those assignments will come sometimes through the plea of a neighbor. It may come through a mission offering. It may come through a time of concerted prayer. It may come at a place of work or at school where we're sharing specifically the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want us to look in particular this morning at verses 6 through 10. And then we'll go back and pick up verses 1 through 5 in just a moment. But let me read verses 6 through 10. And it says, "And as they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Again, a strange statement. "And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia." And you have to understand geographically, we're up in the northwestern corner of Turkey. We're getting close to Constantinople, as it was later called, Istanbul. It's had many names over the centuries. And so there is a point at which they're either going to go right or they're going to go left. And to go left would be to go into Europe and modern-day Greece. So verse 9 says, "There was a vision that appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing there." And this is what he was doing. He was urging him. He was pleading with him. It's the same word that's used of the Holy Spirit to call alongside. There was an encouragement, a pleading, a begging, an urging for him to come. And this is what he said. Come over to Macedonia. And here's those words. And help us. It's only one word in the original language of the New Testament. Come and help us. Do something for us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. And that's in that northeastern part of modern day Greece. Come and bring us the gospel, concluding, and here was what Paul and those that were with him, among which are Silas and Luke and others that we know, concluding that God had called us with a specific assignment. And what was it? To share the good news. It's translated here, preach the gospel. To give to us the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This particular word, to help us, is rarely used in the New Testament. It's only found mostly in the Gospels. And it is given as individuals are asking someone specifically to come give them aid. We find it in Matthew's gospel, for instance, speaking of the Canaanite woman. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, "And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying unto Jesus, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter,' she said, 'is severely oppressed by a demon.'" We've got trouble in our home. My teenage girl has gone absolutely crazy. And she understood why it was that way. It was a spiritual matter. This wasn't just a social thing. This wasn't just a family rearing type thing. This was a spiritual dynamic of intervention on the part of Satan, who had possessed their daughter. And so verse 24 says, "And Jesus answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" You see, this woman was not a part of the nation of Israel. She was a Canaanite. She was one who goes back in the time when the children of Israel had come into the promised land, when Joshua and Caleb were leading those early disciples into the land to conquer it. They were the ones that were indigenous to the land, the ones that God said, "Drive out." Those are the enemies of God. That's her heritage. And she had cried for mercy, but Jesus says, and it seems very hard words, but Jesus is getting to the heart of the matter. You see, the problem of the heart, or the heart of the matter is the problem of the heart, is it not? She comes and she kneels down before Jesus Christ, and what does she say? "Lord, help me. I'm in such straits that I have nowhere else to go. I have been to everybody else. I've been to the counselors. I've been to the schools. I've been to the leaders and the elders of our community. And I've called on the police, as it were. Nobody is able to help me. Please help me." And then again, harsh words, it seems, from the lips of the Savior. He says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." That's tough, isn't it? I mean, can't you just almost, if I was standing there, are you calling me a dog? I mean, those are fighting words, aren't they? That is not the heart of this woman, though, is it? She doesn't see herself as deserving. She realizes, "I'm a Canaanite. I have no right to go to a Jewish rabbi and ask him for help. But I am coming and I am calling upon the Son of David, the Messiah, the Savior, and I'm pleading my case before him. I'm in a moment of desperation." And all of us who've come to faith in Jesus Christ can go back to a time when we were in desperation before the Lord, before we became followers of Jesus Christ. You just don't become a Christian by osmosis, do you? You just don't kind of lay yourself on the gospel casually or very passively. But coming to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a confrontation of our need for a Savior. There's a realization that I am undone. I am broken. It's like the words of that prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he came to realize and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and the glory of the Lord, it filled the temple of God. When he sees the Lord exalted and high and holy, he says he fell on his face as a man who was dead. He said, I am undone. There's something desperately wrong, not with the world, but with me. I can't blame anyone else for my position. My position is by my own choice, by my own act, by my own will. I have chosen like a sheep to go astray. I've turned to my own way. And I am in desperate need of a Savior. And here's where that woman is. To come to know the mercy and tenderness of God. And look at her response in verse 27. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus' response to her was, woman, you are right where you need to be. Woman, great is your faith. You see, salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. And this woman comes to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. He says to her, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed, not later or in time, but the scripture says it was immediate. It was immediate. So it is here in the book of Acts. You know, you and I can't help but as we're studying through the book of Acts to be confronted with the gospel again and again and again. And with the call and the plea to go and go and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is here in this text. So if you look with me, let's go back to verse 1 and kind of pick up on what is being said in these first 15 verses. We'll see in these first 5 verses, there is a cost to helping. There's a cost to giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a cost in telling other people the good news of Jesus. But notice we'll also see in these verses we just looked at in verses 6 through 10, there's a call that says, please come and help us. And you and I need to grasp for that call. We need to hear that call. We need to heed that call and do what God has called us to do. And as a result, what we see in this text in verses 11 through 15 is there are converts. There are people who are converted and changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's just kind of look at the cost that is here in verses 1 through 5. Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. Remember, just a few weeks ago, we saw where Paul and Barnabas had gotten into disagreement about whether or not young John Mark should go with them on their next missionary travel. And so they had a sharp disagreement between them, and it seemed as if Satan was having his way. And as it is with God's, God has a plan, and nothing will thwart, nothing will divert the plan of God. And so not only do we have Paul and Barnabas going out, but now we've got Paul and Silas going one way, and we've got Barnabas and John Mark going to another place. And so we've got Paul now going to Derbe and Lystra, places he's already been on his first trip with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice what the scripture says. And there was a disciple there. And there's a book written. There are actually 2 books written in the New Testament addressed to him from Paul. And it says the name of that young disciple was Timothy. And it's A.T. Robertson, a Greek scholar, who says he believes that at this particular moment in Timothy's life, Timothy was about 18 years of age. So I want you to kind of get the context here. This isn't a seasoned missionary. This is a guy that's just coming out of teenage years. He's just on the precipice of manhood and maturity. And he is there. He's the son of a Jewish woman who herself was a follower of Jesus Christ. She's called what in the text? A believer. She was one who had put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then his father, and it's probably a guess from the language of the New Testament that he's probably dead at this time, but he was a Greek. Well, as a result of being the son of a Greek man, he had not gone through the rituals of Judaism that would allow him to be able to go into the synagogue. So the scripture says, so Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And so what does Paul do? He took him. He probably took him to the temple, as would be the custom. And he had him circumcised. He had the flesh, the foreskin, to be removed. Now you're talking about cost. That's a cost to following Christ. Amen? Okay. For those of you that are quite uncomfortable now and you're wondering if your child understands, number one, they probably do, but number two, it's your job to explain it to them, not mine. But there's a cost there, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're talking about following Christ. Lord, did you just stutter when you said that? I'm not sure I quite heard that. So here it is. And I know I'm making light of it because it's kind of a difficult subject to talk about. But at the same time, it really is a cost of, am I really willing to follow all the demands of Christ in being a disciple of Jesus? Because Jesus taught his disciples, except you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So just simply asking you to sign on the dotted line, raise a hand, pray certain simple little words, and you have an assurance that you have a home in heaven. There really is a lifetime to reveal the reality of whether or not we've been born again of the Spirit of God. And so it was for young Timothy. He had to come to the place when he was willing to say, whatever it costs me to follow Christ, I am willing to do that. So Paul takes him and has him circumcised. And as a result, they went on their way through the cities. They delivered them for the observance of the decisions that had been reached by the apostles. Remember, some questions were asked. Do we in the Gentile church have to do all the rituals of the Jewish church? Those Jews who had come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you might remember the simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ was the conclusion of the council of the leaders back in Jerusalem. And so it was their job to teach this as Paul and Timothy and Luke and others, along with Silas, preached the gospel. So as a result, verse 5 said, the churches were strengthened in the faith. They increased in numbers daily. Now, just very briefly here, I want you to think about those who taught Timothy. Because in the cost of following Jesus Christ, notice Timothy had to be taught the gospel. And if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, you and I are going to have to be teachers of others of the truths that are found in the Word of God. Now, if I'm going to teach it, you know what I'm going to have to do first of all? I'm going to have to know it, right? I'm going to have to learn it for myself. I'm going to have to put it into practice. I'm going to have to become a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. If I'm just a hearer of the Word but not a doer, the Scripture says, I am deceiving myself. The truth is not really living out in my life. So here is young Timothy, who I call to count the cost of following Jesus Christ. I want you to see that he had some to teach him. There was a mentor that taught him. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 calls Timothy my true child in the faith. It is most probable that Paul is the one who had shared the gospel on his first missionary travel with young Timothy. If somebody's going to come to faith in Jesus Christ, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So the gospel has to go out. It has to be verbalized. It has to be shared. And that's the imperative on the life of every follower of Jesus Christ. And so you and I have to see ourselves at some point in time being a mentor to somebody else with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it was for young Timothy. So it was for you, and it will be for everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. There is one who taught him. But notice also, there wasn't just a mentor, there was also family. We kind of addressed this just very briefly in our time of dedication of Tabitha this morning, but reminding us that family plays a significant role. The scripture is real clear in 2 Timothy 1:5 that Timothy had a sincere faith, a faith that, he says, first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. So the family played a role in this. And I know that it's a wonderful thing when mom and dad are the ones that have the privilege of leading their offspring to the Lord, whether they be children or teenagers or adults. And that's our job. And it's such a lifetime role, is it not, of being not only one who teaches them to come to faith in Christ, but encourages them along the way. And, you know, it's an easy job because parents and children always see eye to eye about everything, don't they? Don't you wonder sometimes as a parent, you ask the question, did that offspring actually come from me? It's almost as if a movie called Alien took place. And you're certain that there is a demon indwelling your child, right? I mean, or let's flip it around and you may wonder if you don't have the devil for a father. That often and unfortunately seems to be so true in the lives of our families. And yet in God's economy, the family is that great dynamic that God made back in the Garden of Eden when he made Adam and Eve and he told them to be fruitful and multiply, through which God intends the gospel of grace to be communicated from mom and dad to son and daughter. And for you and I to prayerfully and compassionately lead them to faith in Jesus Christ and encourage that faith. And so it was for young Timothy. You see, there's a cost to you. There's a cost to me in helping others to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Notice there's also a role of the scripture that's here. Because Timothy, when Paul was writing to him in 2 Timothy, it says, "But as for you," speaking to Timothy, "you continue in the things that you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned them, and how that from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." You see, young Timothy had the scriptures taught to him time and time and time again. Last Sunday was a glorious day. I mean, you know, every Sunday is a wonderful time to come and fellowship and worship together and to hear the truths of Scripture. But Easter Sunday is just kind of like hit it out of the park Sunday. You know, it's kind of like you know that everything is going to focus in on Jesus Christ. And last Sunday, our children went through different stages of the gospel. They went from one place to another place, being encouraged from the scripture and hearing about it. And you as parents could walk away knowing that the things that you're teaching, the scriptures you're giving out to your children are just being affirmed and reaffirmed on the part of the church to communicate the gospel to them. And I say that because in talking with a staff member in another church this week and asking about how their Easter Sunday went, they said, "Well, it went pretty good. We did have a scant knee or two during the worship service because our children were out playing kickball while we were having church service for the adults." Yeah, I saw some of your faces, your jaws dropped, and you know, and that unfortunately goes on too often. And what Paul is writing about here, as he's writing to Timothy, and as the scripture is pulling out Timothy as one of those characters to teach us, there is a cost in following Jesus Christ. Understand that we have a great teacher, and it is the scripture. It is the scripture of God. There is also another, and that is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that is the great teacher. Because you and I understand that it is not by the natural man that we receive the things of God. It is through the Spirit of God. It's not by intellect. It's not by upbringing alone, but it is by the Holy Spirit of God that there is a quickening and understanding. In the concluding verses of this text that we're not going to be able to get to today, we won't be able to get to the third part of the sermon today. Amen? The third part is when Lydia comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and it says there in that text that the Lord opened up her heart. That's the Spirit of God. You and I can't make it happen. But in this cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and carrying the gospel to the world, you and I can know that as we are mentors to others, as we as families are encouraging, as we're sharing the scripture, that we can pray and we can ask the great teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, to, as it were, turn the spiritual lights on, to enliven the heart, to create an understanding in the mind for a person to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Understand, as we're talking about Timothy, I don't want to miss this. As we're talking about Timothy, we need to understand what was at stake in the fact that Timothy was circumcised, because there's another character that Paul writes to, and his name is Titus. He's another pastor. And there's an altogether different story for Titus. And you'd have to understand that by going to the book of Galatians. Because it's in the book of Galatians that they're dealing with a problem within the church, where there were people coming from Jerusalem and trying to teach them in a Gentile church. They had to observe the law and practice it. But the scripture says in Galatians 2:3, even Titus, who now is with Paul at that particular moment, was not forced to be circumcised. And I'm thinking, how come Timothy and not Titus? Okay, but notice what it says, not Titus. He wasn't forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers who were secretly bringing it in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. Now understand, there's a difference of why Titus didn't have to go through that ritual and Timothy did. Titus didn't go through that ritual because it was a requirement of those who said they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were trying to impose something else on to the gospel. But in Timothy's case, the reason why Timothy had to go through that, it was so that he could open up the door to unbelievers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a cost to following Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us, as Paul said, "For though I am free from all things, I have made myself a servant unto all, that I might," he gives us his purpose, "that I might do what? Win the more. That I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law. I came to understand I am free in Christ Jesus. I don't have to follow the rituals of Judaism to have a relationship with Christ. I am free, but I did put myself under those for the purpose of sharing the gospel to the Jews. Verse 21 says, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, but not being outside the law, but being under the law of Christ. Why? That I might gain those outside the law. Paul said, I put myself in situations to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in moments when I personally, I might have been uncomfortable. I did not have that freedom to be a part of what was going on, but I put myself in that situation. I looked at the opportunity and I said, I became all things to all men. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak, and I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. So I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessing. What does that mean to us? That means to us, you and I become afraid sometimes. Did you know that? We become afraid. We become afraid to say, well, I can't cross that line and share the gospel with somebody. I don't know how they'll receive me. I don't know how they'll think. Lord, I don't know what they're going to do. We're on different political parties. We're in different strategies of life. Their understanding is this. They might hate me. They might throw something at me. I don't know what they're going to do. But God, I don't want to do it. I'm uncomfortable in doing it. But as Paul said, I did what? I went to all people in order that I might win, not all of them, because all of them will not be won to faith in Jesus Christ, but that I might win some. Paul said, I put myself in a situation where I was so uncomfortable, and I said, Lord, I can't do it. And when God heard him say, I can't, God said, but I can. You see, with me it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible, and so it is with a call to help. The call that the Macedonian that said, come and share with us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul could have simply have said, I don't know the language. I don't know the culture. You guys over there in Greece, you're all together. Don't you know I was born in Jerusalem? I was raised in Judaism. You guys think you can eat whatever you want. I can't do that. You mean in order to reach a Cajun, I might have to eat a crawdad or two? I might even have to suck a head. I would not do that in order that someone might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you wouldn't say that in here on Sunday morning, but we might would say that in our heart of hearts. And you see, the call of God was on the life of Paul. It said, come over and help us. Now, God had already given the call, because God's call was, go. Wasn't it? Go where? Go to the ends of the earth? Go to everywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the call of God. The call of God is clear. The commission of God is clear. And then when we do that, there will be conversions to faith in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happens. So we're commanded to go. We're commissioned to go. And I think Paul was compelled to go, of which we all need to wrestle with this morning. There's a compulsion to go with the gospel. You and I need to hear there is somebody asking us to come and help. Our Father, our Savior, our Lord, our Master is commanding us to go, but someone else is calling us, will you please come? I remember a time in my life when I was called to go on a mission trip. I was literally halfway around the world when I went. I went to a man's little hut. His hut was out on the edge of a rice paddy. And I went to his little hut. I had an interpreter with me, and I started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And And as I was sharing the gospel and the translator was translating for us, there came a moment in time when the man was standing there and he had tears flowing down his cheeks. I couldn't understand what he was saying at that particular moment, but he was just weeping almost uncontrollably. And in that moment in time, the translator said, "He is telling me he is becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. He believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior." I was like, awesome, magnificent, wonderful. I'm so glad that he is doing that. But what I didn't understand till after the man had trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior, the interpreter said to me, this is what he was saying. It was almost 20 years ago, I was standing in my rice field. And I was looking up to heaven and I was saying, God, if you're really real, I'm going to ask you that you would take somebody from a far, far place and would you send them to me to tell me who you are. To tell me who you are. And I haven't had that said to me very often, but this was what he said. He said, "You are the answer to my prayer." And I want you and I to think about that, to realize there is somebody somewhere that is crying out into God and saying, God, would you send somebody? Would there be somebody who would get out of their comfort zone and do what you have commanded them to do and to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what it may cost? We as a church body have made a connection with tribal people in the Amazonas region of Colombia. There's a pastor there who's still there by the name of Nuncio, who's probably saying, come and help me. We have a relationship through the Coles with a former International Board missionary who's now serving. He lives in Louisiana, but he is a part of a mission that goes over into the Middle East and in Greece. And I just received an email from him this past week that was asking for help as they reach out to indigenous displaced people groups. Those that you see time and time again on the news that have been cast out of their country and are going over to Greece, for example. There are believers that are there that are building buildings. They're giving out supplies, but more importantly, in the process of coming to the human aid that is there, they're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are Syrian Christians who are sharing the gospel with Syrian Muslims. They're asking us to do what? To come and help. Each month, the men of our church go to the Waterfront Rescue Mission and are part of encouraging and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And time again, there's the question of, will you come and help us? We have Randall Downs and Zach Keith from our own church that are out in Anthem, Arizona, who have asked us, and some of you have gone, but the mission is not over, who are saying, please do what? Come, help us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have Judy and Steve Anderson, who are sitting right here, that this summer are going back to Thailand, that have been asking us and continue to ask us to come and do what? Help us take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those in Thailand, Northwest Thailand, so that they may hear and believe in Jesus Christ. We here in our own church, through English as second language classes, are reaching out week by week, telling others about Jesus Christ. But yet again, there is a need not only to come and to teach, but to become involved and to help. We've had some Sunday school classes who've given financial assistance, and the great gospel of Jesus Christ is going out, but we need to understand there's a compulsion. Please come help us know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Charles and Barbara Cole are getting ready to go next month back to Indonesia, where they served as international missionaries. And they're going in answer to an invitation to do what? To come help us. They're Sean and Mandy Miller from our own church that are serving out of Montgomery, but they're serving in the Caribbean through Child Evangelism Fellowship. Time and time and time again are saying, would you please, as a body of believers, come and help us? Is there any more? There's Gabrielle, who's, I just saw you a moment ago. Gabrielle was back there. Gabrielle, who time and time again is one of our translators in Spanish, going with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I have thousands of missionaries through the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board who are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're saying, come and help us. I could go on and on, but I want to ask you, are you being compelled? Do we see the need? Are we looking out on the world around us and saying, well, it's just all burnt ground? Or as I came home yesterday and I found a neighbor in need who needed to know that Jesus Christ was alive today the same way that he was alive the day before, because her world came crushing down on her. And she needs to know that Jesus Christ is real. And I can hear her calling out, crying out, please come help me. And so I want us as a body of believers to ask the question, am I in the place when I say to the Lord, Lord, I'm afraid. Maybe Timothy, you sure that's what you want me to do? Yes, that's what I want you to do. Are you sure that's where you want me to go? Yeah. Are you sure you want me to give that much? Are you sure you want me to spend that much time in concerted intercessory prayer? Yes. Are you sure you want me to go to that neighbor who doesn't like anybody? I picked you. You're the one to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it may be that you came into this building today and you say, man, preacher, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, because I've never come to a place when I have counted the cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ. I need today to say yes. Jesus Christ, would you become the Lord and Savior of my life? I do believe you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried, you rose again the third day, and you say to me, come and follow me. And I am responding to the claims of a Christ and a Savior who gave his all that I might be his for all eternity. In a moment, we will give an invitation that represents the invitation of Christ. Come, follow Christ. And as followers of Jesus, for you and I to come to the call, to the command, to the commission to tell others about Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for a clear word in the Bible in which people like Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark and Timothy and Titus and others who were real men and women who responded to your call to go. And there was a lady by the name of Lydia. There was a young teenager by the name of Timothy who heard that good news of Jesus Christ and gave their all to him. And he became their all. Everything for their lives. And they were made new again through Christ Jesus. They were converted and made to be children of God. Those who were once not children of God are now children of God. Like that woman who said, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive anything from you, but oh, I need you. Lord, I need you. And I pray that this moment would be a time where the saints of God say yes to the call, but also the one who has yet to become a follower of Jesus Christ, that they would hear Jesus say, come, follow me. In Jesus' name we pray.